Prabhupada Paramahamsa Padmaraja Acharya Shrata Shrita Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Vishnu Paramahamsa Padmaraja Acharya Shrata Shrita Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Maharaja Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Kisangare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Karandara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Gangamaya Munamaya Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, All Gaur Samrivotis, All Gaur Samrivotis, All Gaur Samrivotis, All Gaur Samrivotis, All Gaur Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. I must apologize for my voice. It's a little bit rough. Last few days I've been fighting the cold. But I'll try my best. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sattvam rajastamahiti prakritir gunaistair.
Sattvam rajastamahiti prakritir gunaistair.
Sattvam rajastamahiti prakritir gunaistair.
Sattvam rajastamahiti prakritir gunaistair.
Yukta para purusha ekaihasya date. Yukta para purusha ekaihasya date.
Yukta para purusha ekaihasya date.
Stitadye hari vin. Sorry. Stitadaye hari virinchi hareti samgyam.
Stitadaye hari virinchi hareti samgyam.
Stitadye hari virinchi hareti samgyam. Shreyam sitatra kalasatvatanar drinansyu.
Shreyam sitatra
kalasatvatanar drinansyu. Sattvam rajastamahiti prakrite gunaistair. Yukta para purusha ekaihasya daite.
Yukta para purusha ekaihasya daite.
Stit ade hari virinchi hareti samgyam.
Stit ade hari virinchi hareti samgyam.
Shreyam sitatra kalasatvatano nrinamsyam.
Sitya daye hari virinchi hareti samgya. Sitya daye hari virinchi hareti samgya.
Translation and purport by His Gangesh Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sattvam, goodness. Rajam, passion. Tamam, the darkness of ignorance. Iti, thus. Prakritem, of the material nature. Gunam, qualities. Tai, by them. Yuktam, associated with. Param, transcendental. Purusham, the personality. Ekam, one. Iha asya, of this material world. Date, accept. Sthiti adaye, for the matter of creation, maintenance and destruction. Hari, Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Virinchi, Brahma, Hara, Lord Shiva, Iti, thus, Samgyam, different features, Shreyamsi, ultimate benefit, Tatram, therein, Kalo, of course. Sattvam, goodness. Tanom, form. Mrinam, of the human being. Siu, derived. Translation. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Purport. The Lord Shri Krishna, by his plenary parts, should be That Lord Shri Krishna, by his plenary parts, should be rendered devotional service, as explained above, is confirmed by this statement. Lord Shri Krishna and all his plenary parts are Vishnu Tattva, or the Lordship of Godhead. From Sri Krishna, the next manifestation is Baladev. From Baladev is Sankarshan. From Sankarshan is Narayan. From Narayan, there is the second Sankarshan. And from the Sankarshan, the Vishnu Purusha avatars. The Vishnu, or the deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, is the Purusha avatar known as Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, or Paramatma. Brahma is the deity of rajas, passion, and Shiva of ignorance. They are the three departmental heads of the three qualities of this material world. Creation is made possible by the goodness of Vishnu, and when it requires to be destroyed, Lord Shiva does it by the Tandava Nritya. The materialist and the foolish human being worship Brahma and Shiva respectively, but the pure transcendentalist worship the form of goodness, Vishnu, in his various forms. Vishnu is manifested by his millions and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. The integrated forms are called Godhead, and the separate forms are called the living entities or the Jivas. Both the Jivas and Godhead have their original spiritual forms. Jivas are sometimes subjected to the control of material energy, but the Vishnu forms are always controllers of this energy. When Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, appears in the material world, he comes to deliver the conditioned living beings who are under the material energy. Such living beings appear in the material world with the intention of being lords, and thus they become entrapped by the free moods of nature. As such, the living entities have to change their material coverings for undergoing different terms of imprisonment. The prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under instruction of the personality of Godhead. And at the conclusion of Kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu, as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, who wishes to get out of this prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Lord Vishnu is worshipped by devotional service only, and if anyone has to continue prison life in the material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from the different demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Varuna. No demigod, however, can release the imprisoned living being from the conditioned life of material existence. This can be done only by Vishnu. Therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three moods of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance, and just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction. He accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nuitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhya Kripa Sinuge Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, the first word that kind of grabs your attention when we read this verse, it's talking about the ultimate benefit. And we know everybody is looking for some kind of benefit in this world. But here in this verse specifically, it's talking about the ultimate benefit, which means benefit above all other benefits. So, and what that is, it says here that ultimate benefit can only be derived from Lord Vishnu. Even though in this material creation, as we know, the administrators of this material universe are Lord Brahma and Shiva, but they can only give temporary facilities, as is described in this verse. So, the point being that of those three, it says, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. And then in the purport, Prabhupada talks how Vishnu manifests in this material world through his millions and billions of integrated and separated forms. And he explains that integrated forms, as we know, they are different manifestations of and incarnations of Lord Vishnu. And the separated forms are the jivas, living beings, which is us. So, and then Prabhupada says, so when Lord Vishnu basically appears, he comes for the purpose of delivering those conditioned souls who are entrapped in this material creation. And he explains that the jivas, they are always under the control of the material energy, where Lord Vishnu, he is always the controller of the material energy. So one really nice point, and Prabhupada puts it in such nice wording here. He says, such living beings appear in the material world with the intention of being lords. And thus they become entrapped by the free moods of nature. So you can see in this material creation, every being is trying to dominate over the others in the conditioned environment, basically, within the three moods of nature. And despite all the best efforts, everybody wants to be Lord, but, you know, at the end, all these plans, all these aspirations, they become spoiled, they become frustrated. So no matter how much one endeavors, at the end, the result is frustration. And then Prabhupada says, therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. So the logical question would be, if, as we hear here, ultimate benefit can be derived from Lord Vishnu, then why not all living beings are worshipping Lord Vishnu? So, to that question, you know, we may come up with many answers, you know, because of ignorance, because of our selfish desires, and so on. But there could be many, many reasons. But I find the answer to that particular question quite nicely explained in that story, if you recall, when Krishna delivers kings which were imprisoned by Jarasandha, a powerful, powerful ruler. And as we recall, in Krishna book, there is a beautiful description how it all took place, which I will try to narrate briefly. So there is a beautiful description. First, we find a beautiful description how Lord Krishna performs his daily activities in his household life, you know, setting perfect example for all of us. And it's described that, you know, first of all, you know, he is married to 16,108 queens, and basically every morning he wakes up so early, which is, you know, something we should pay attention to. And it's described that queens of Dwaraka, they hate Brahma Muhurta. And you think, why? Because they are, you know, so much in love with Krishna, and they embrace Lord while they sleep. But as soon as Brahma Muhurta arrives, Lord Krishna is, you know, ready to get up. And they don't like that separation. It's described that Rukmini, she absolutely hates Brahma Muhurta because she knows Krishna will get up off the bed. So as soon as Krishna gets off the bed, the first thing he does, he meditates. And he meditates on himself. Prabhupada explains that it's very, very auspicious to be meditating on Radha Krishna during that auspicious time early in the morning. And it's specifically it says 3 hours before sunrise. 3 hours. So you know, it's something we should pay attention as you know householders. Prabhupada says that chanting the Maha Mantra is equivalent to meditating directly on Radha Krishna. So therefore we have this process of chanting japa every morning. And it's very, very powerful if we do it steadily, day after day, year after year. And then Krishna goes on with his daily activities. He basically addresses different things in his kingdom. He gives charity to the brahmanas. And then afterwards, Daruka comes with chariot and Lord with his intimate associates, Uddhava and Satyaki. He goes to the assembly hall. So it's really wonderful when you kind of just focus on these activities of the Lord. It's so, so sweet. So one day, as Krishna arrived to the assembly hall, Sudharma, which is a special palace, with, you know, which is kind of shield from any material miseries. The palace is brought from the heavens to the earth. One day, as he was sitting in that assembly of the great Yadu rulers, one person arrived on the door, and the servants, they opened the door and greeted the visitor. And he said, "I have a message for Lord Krishna." And then he went on to explain that he was sent by the kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha. And can you imagine, he imprisoned 20,000 of the rulers of that time. Jarasandha was so powerful. It's described he had the power of 10,000 elephants. And, excuse me. And as we know, Krishna actually fought with him 18 times. And he defeated him 17 times. But the last time, 18 times, he just walked away. And foolish Jarasandha, he thought like, you know, oh, I was so powerful and I won the, you know, battle this time. But no, actually Krishna just had a different engagement to address. So he didn't even want to fight with him at that time. Anyhow, Jarasandha became so proud and arrogant that he went on around the world and he was just defeating all these kings and putting them in a prison, like, you know, just like the, you know, like, you know, so insulting, basically. So that visitor, he presents a message, and I kind of wanted to read that briefly. So these kings, they composed the message, and basically they're saying, any soul that surrendered to your lotus feet is basically free from any material anxiety. But in our case, they're talking about themselves, they're saying, dear Lord, we are not among those surrendered souls. And this applies to myself. And they're saying, we are still within the duality of illusion of this material existence. We therefore take shelter of your lotus feet, for we are afraid of this cycle of birth and death. Dear Lord, we think that there are many living entities like us who are eternally entangled in fruitive activities and their reactions. They are never inclined to follow your instructions by performing devotional service. Although it is pleasing to the heart and most auspicious for one's existence, on the contrary, they are against the path of Krishna consciousness, and they are wandering within the free worlds impelled by the illusory energy of material existence. So this basically gives us the answer, why are not all living beings worshipping Lord Vishnu? So, as we know, the story goes on. as Lord Krishna was listening that message, all of a sudden Narada Muni arise, Naradaji, who travels throughout the universes, and as soon as Lord saw Narada, he got up of his seat and offered obeisance. Even his Supreme Lord, just see that attitude, like of a beautiful culture worshiping the saint. And as he offered respect to Narada Muni, Lord Krishna said, "Oh dear Narada, now everything must be fine in all the three worlds. Just by your presence, you bring auspiciousness." And then he said, "Because you travel all over the place, I know you know everything. You know, no need for internet, no need for, you know, Facebook. Basically, Narada Muni brings the news." So the Lord inquired, "Please tell me, how are the Pandavas?" Krishna was always, concerned about the Pandavas, knowing how inimical Duryodhana and his brothers were to them. And then Narada Muni informed him, "My dear Lord, although you know everything, I will still, because you asked me, I will tell you." But Narada Muni said, "You know everything. You are the super soul in the hearts of all living beings." But still he went on to describe, and he said, "Maharaj Yudhishthir has opulence greater than the opulence of the Brahmaloka. He is so wealthy and so much prosperity in his kingdom. But he's getting ready to perform the great sacrifice of Rajasuya Yajna. And for that purpose, he is inviting you to come there and, assist him with that performance." So Krishna is listening. And so all of a sudden, there is two requests placed upon him. And then he turns to, his dear servant Uddhava, and he said, "My dear Uddhava, what shall I do? Shall I go to Maharaj Yudhishthir, or shall I go and try to rescue these kings which were imprisoned by the Jarasandha?" And Uddhava, he's super intelligent, and he goes on to basically coin down the perfect plan, and he explains, basically, you can accomplish both tasks, simultaneously. You can rescue the kings which are in prison, and you can also attend the sacrificial performance of Maharaj Yudhishthir. And even he went on to make a plan, "But you shouldn't bring the army and fight the Jarasandha. He is such a powerful warrior, and so many men will be killed unnecessarily. Just bring Bhimasen. I'm sure in your presence, Bhima will be able to defeat this evil king, Jarasandha." So, as we know, that's exactly what happened. Lord Krishna basically went there, and the Lord went with Arjuna and Bhimasen, and they all dressed as the Brahmanas, actually, in disguise. And they... upon arrival to Jarasandha's kingdom, they begged, but they, instead of begging like the Brahmanas, they actually disclosed who they were and that they want to fight. So after many days of fighting, Bhimasen defeated Jarasandha, and everything was fine. And finally, then Lord went and rescued all these kings. And it's interesting to note, when they saw the Lord, basically they saw him in his forearm form as the Lord Vishnu. It's described that the Lord in his Vishnu form has four arms. In two of them he carries weapons, disc and club, and in the other two he carries flower and conch. So the disc and club are for punishing the demons, and flower and conch is basically to assure his devotees that they will be always protected, they will never perish. So when they saw the Lord, all these imprisoned kings, is described, they were so pale in their face after so many months of starvation. You know, they were kind of, wearing torn clothing, and they were just, looking really, really bad, no luster in the face. So it's kind of like interesting to observe, because all the living beings in separation from the Lord, they kind of lose that inner shine, they lose that inner force. The further they go away from God, the more degraded they become. But just by seeing the Lord, they became enlivened. And then they offered the prayers, and then they said something really important, which I wanted to share with you. So it's they're saying, "It is by your causeless mercy that we have been released from the imprisonment of Jarasandha. But now we pray that you release us from the imprisonment within this material existence. Your illusory energy..." Okay, so they're saying, "Please stop our continuous cycle of birth and death. We now have sufficient experience of the miserable material life in which we were fully absorbed. And having tasted its bitterness, we have come to take shelter under your lotus feet." So that is basically the answer to our question. When I was trying to ask, why are not all living beings worshipping Lord Vishnu? So in this particular story, the answer that these kings are giving us is, they're saying, now we have sufficient experience of the miserable material life. So the logical conclusion would be that those souls who are not fully taking shelter, not fully taking the opportunity to perfect this human form of life, they still don't have that sufficient experience how painful this material world is. I know sometimes we kind of sound like a broken record, repeating like birth, old age, disease, and that. But in our present society, these things are pretty well hidden away, especially in a country like America. You don't see people necessarily, on the street dying, like you would see in some countries in the world. You don't see people, sick necessarily on the streets. They are hidden very nicely. Everything is arranged by illusory energy. All these things are hidden in hospitals. So in our day-to-day activities, we don't necessarily see all this. We don't perceive how much pain it actually is in material existence. So, I wanted to share also one verse that appears actually in this same chapter, second chapter, and basically it points out what the solution is. And it says, it's a verse actually 14 in the second chapter. And it says, "Tasmad ekina manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati." And I like that verse so much because it says, "Tasmad ekina manasa." It means, therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should focus the mind on Bhagavan. Bhagavan sattvatam pati. And Satvata means devotee, and Pati means protector. So basically, therefore, with one pointed attention, one should focus mind on Bhagavan, who is the protector of his devotees. So, so therefore, if we absorb our minds, basically, we will develop the taste. We will develop taste, and that will bring us closer and closer to the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, we may think, I've been performing spiritual life for so many years, and I made so much advancement and so on. The mind sometimes can play really amazing tricks with us. But it's important to always remember the instruction from Lord Chaitanya, which basically is saying, "Trinadapi sunichena, tarurapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadina Kirtaniya Sadahari. Basically that one has to be lower than the grass and more tolerant than a tree. And in such state of mind, one can chant continuously. There is a wonderful pastime. One time, Shri Narada, he actually visited the Lord. As he arrived, he kind of posed a question to the Lord. And he said, "My dear Lord, who is your best devotee?" He was hoping Lord Vishnu would say, "You are Narada, you are the best devotee." Lord said, he actually talked for a moment, and then he said, "The best devotee is one farmer. He lives in one village on the planet Earth." And Narada Muni, he kind of, you know, started wondering, what? And, you know, he didn't protest, of course, but he was curious who that person is and why does Lord Vishnu thinks he's the best devotee. So upon hearing that, Narada Muni went to the planet Earth, to that village where the farmer was living. He wanted to observe and see what are his activities and why does Lord consider him the best devotee. So he was watching, and the farmer would get up early in the morning, and as he would take his oxes to the fields, to plow the fields, he would be chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And, you know, he would happily go to the field, do his work, and then in the evening, you know, when the sun was setting, he would be coming back home and again chanting, "Haribo." So in such way, he was kind of remembering the Lord by performing his daily duties. And Narada Muni, he thought like, "What? I chant Lord's name all the time, you know, playing my veena, but this farmer, he only chanted twice, you know, in the morning and the evening. Like, that's not fair. I should be the best devotee." So he went to Lord Vishnu and he said, "My Lord, he only chanted twice, but I chant all the time." Lord Vishnu, he didn't, want to discourage Naradaji, but he said, "Okay, Naradaji, I have one task for you. Please, if you could do it for me, I would be very, very pleased." And he gave Narada Muni a pot with the oil, and he said, "Please go around that hill and carry it around all day, and then please come back." So Narada Muni, and he said, "You know, please make sure not even a drop spills out." So Narada Muni, he carries the pot on his head and he walks around the hill, and he's just like so focused and concentrated. And when he completed the task, he went back and said, "My Lord, I completed the engagement you gave me, and I didn't drop even one drop from the pot." And Lord Vishnu said, "And how many times did you remember me?" And Narada Muni said, "Uh-oh." And he realized that actually he was so preoccupied by carrying the pot that he didn't even think once of the Lord. And then he realized what Krishna is trying to teach him. And the Lord explained, "You see that farmer, he's doing his daily duties and he's performing his prescribed duty, and he's remembering me constantly. And that is the key. You know, regardless, you know, what comes through our day, we should try to remember as much as possible, Lord, in any circumstance. Not just when we're doing japa, or not only when we are in temple with wonderful devotees, but throughout the day, 24 hours, 7 days a week." So I'll stop here. Thank you so much. If anybody would like to ask any question, any comments, any reflections, please do so. Yes, Trivikram.
Haribol, so it's stated that all human beings can derive benefit from Lord Vishnu. But as we know, this is not the case, you know. It's not explained here really, but I guess it has to do with the modes of nature they are situated in, you know, especially those that are situated in like ignorance, then they tend to not develop so much faith, you know, in the Lord, actually, or some of them may become attracted to Lord Shiva or the demigods. They feel by worshiping the demigods, they get quick benefits. And so this is one of the main reasons so many people don't take shelter from Lord Vishnu, even though he's the ultimate benefactor. One other point. It's stated there that Lord Shiva is also called Hara.
Yes,
I was looking at the name of Arabia, you know, and it stated that Arabia came from the word Hara. Arabia, you know, and it stated that in ancient time they used to worship Lord Shiva. You know, so when I saw that Hara,
Thank you for sharing that. You're right. And some people may be more inclined to worshiping Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma or other devatas. But as Prabhupada explained in the purport, they can derive quick benefits, and the devatas, they offer certain facilities, but ultimately they are not permanent. Ultimately, these facilities, they will end. So, and certain souls may even, through worship, you know, approaching Lord Shiva, eventually come to the mood of goodness and approach Lord Vishnu as well. So, freedom of decision. Anyone else? If not, we will stop here. Thank you so much. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jai Shri Prabhupada.